I remember seeing TV programs in the past and movies where if someone was looking for someone and they were lost and it was inclement weather, they would tie a rope around their waist and they would go out maybe in the snow blizzard or in the dark and looking for a family member or maybe a pet, and they would be out there looking and then they would pull on that rope and have a place to come back to. I remember seeing programs like that, like maybe an episode of Little House on the Prairie or The Waltons or Gunsmoke, something like that. Somebody's out in the dark or a snow blizzard and they're looking for somebody and they tie a rope around their waist and they know how to get back home. This evening, I'm going to talk about one of the most important biblical principles that is laid down in both the Old and New Testament. And it's the biblical principle of what we call the restoration principle. We need to know how to come back always to the Word of God. So if you'll turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, I want to talk this evening a little bit with you about going forward by going backward. As we go forward in life, as we travel the road of life, we need to always be tied, like the rope tied around our waist. We always need to be tied to the Word of God. Every person here this evening, whether they realize it or not, myself included, is traveling down the road of life. We are headed down one of two eternal destinations. A narrow way that leads to eternal life or a broad way that leads to destruction. And the sad truth is that many do not know the road that they're traveling, and if they need to find the right way, they do not consider how they can do that. As we travel the road of life, as we go forward, we always must go backward in the sense of going back to the Word of God. When people travel through life, they often don't realize what they need to do. Some are looking around for contemporary answers. Some look to culture and society. How do we go through life? How do I go forward? And so they're getting information from the world around them, which is not good. Some are not doing anything at all. They're just going with the flow of history. But Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16 in one of his sermons that the way to go forward is to go backward. The way to go forward is to seek the old paths. This is one of the most important lessons in Jeremiah, and it's been one of the most important lessons that any preacher in the Lord's church has ever preached. I remember hearing old timers preach the sermon, "Seek the old paths." And I'm glad that we have an opportunity to talk about that this evening. I want our young people and others to hear this great lesson. Seek the old paths. It's one of the most important principles laid down in the Word of God. In Jeremiah chapter 6, of course, this morning we looked at some of the sins that were going on with the people at this time. And in verse 16, Jeremiah gives the remedy. He doesn't just simply say, "You're living a bad life." He gives them the remedy. He gives them the solution. And so in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, "Thus says Jehovah, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, 'We will not walk therein.' And I set watchmen over you, saying, 'Hearken to the sound of the trumpet.' But they said, 'We will not hearken.'" I want to look at this great text this evening, and I want to break it down. And I want us to go word by word and phrase by phrase, and let's consider the admonitions that Jeremiah gives for us. Brethren, we are some 2,000 years removed from the New Testament. And if we ever need this lesson, it is today. God's people at this time are about 820 years from the giving of the law of Moses. They are about 820 years from the giving of the law of Moses, and Jeremiah is calling them back to that. We're some 2,000 years from the giving of the law of Christ in the New Testament. We definitely need it. And when you look around and you see what people are doing in the religious world in general, you understand we've got to get back to the old paths. When you look around and see even what some members of the church are doing, you realize we need to get back to the old paths. And I want us to consider that in the next generation of Christians that are coming up. Look around at those of you who are here this evening. You're not always going to be at Warfield Boulevard. You might be off somewhere else. And you have to make a choice where you're going to worship and who you're going to be with. You're not always going to be at Warfield Boulevard. I have confidence that this congregation under the current leadership will stay true to the New Testament principles, but down the road will Warfield Boulevard always be according to the New Testament? I don't know. I hope it will. But you might be off somewhere else. Young people, you might have to move from here based upon a job or a family relationship or schooling. You might be off somewhere in another part of the country and you have to decide what group of Christians you're going to be with. You need to make the decision based upon this restoration principle. You need to be with brethren who are seeking to be New Testament Christians only. We don't just simply pick a building in a directory or use our phone to find some Church of Christ nearby. We need to be with those who are seeking the old paths. Even if it's a small group, even if it's a group that's not large in number, we need to be with those who are seeking the old paths. And so it's a very important principle that I want us to be aware of. So let's look at Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. First of all, Jeremiah says that it is the way that is specified. Jeremiah begins by saying, "Thus says the Lord." The Lord is speaking. It's a revealed way. It's a way in which God is telling us. The Lord is saying what the way is. We can know it. And for us today, it's recorded in the pages of the New Testament. It's the words of Christ. It's the covenant of Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's a divine way. Notice that Jeremiah says, "Thus says the Lord." It comes from God and not man. The way that we follow today is not based upon personal feelings or ancestral traditions or what the majority of people want or what the general denominational world is doing. It's the way that the Lord says. And it's the way of faith. Paul says in Romans 10 and verse 17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And we put our faith in that. Brethren, the old paths may not make sense to us today some 2,000 years later. The old paths may not be popular today, but we still must walk in them. If the old paths says that baptism is for the remission of sins and I sing without an instrument, that may not make sense to me today. That may not match up with the modern denominational world, but I accept it by faith. It's what the New Testament teaches. It's what God says. And so I want us to notice this evening that it is the way that is specified by God. Sometime around the preaching of this sermon, we had our scripture reading this evening. Josiah, King Josiah, in 2 Kings 23, 1 through 3, calls the people of Jerusalem back to the Word of God. And the text says that he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of Jehovah. Later, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to confirm the words of this covenant that were written in this book. He's calling the people back to the book. That was the old paths. Unfortunately, not everybody accepted those reforms. Look at Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. After God's people come back from the Babylonian captivity, one of the jobs or the works or the missions of Ezra is mentioned in Ezra 7:10. He had set his heart to seek the law of Jehovah and to do it, look at this, and to teach in Israel statutes and ordinances, bringing God's people back to the Word of God, the restoration principle. It is one of the most important principles that is laid down in the Word of God, because as time passes between the giving of God's Word and when somebody is living, between the time that passes, people can stray. People can go off and do other things. And the way you go forward is by always going backward to the Word of God. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. One of Ezra's contemporaries, when God's people come back from the Babylonian captivity, in Ezra chapter 8 and verse 1, Ezra the scribe was called to bring the book of the law of Moses, which Jehovah had commanded Israel. Come and preach to us, Ezra, Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 1, come preach to us from the book of the law of Moses. How do we go forward after the Babylonian captivity? By going backward. You always have to stay moored and tied down to the New Testament covenant of Christ. Going forward by going backward. Young people, your parents are not always going to be around. Your grandparents may not always be around. And you're going to have to go forward in life. And you're out on your own now. You're somewhere else. How do you go forward? By always going backward. This restoration principle is found all throughout the Scripture. And so this evening, we need to understand that it is very important that the solution to the problem here in Jeremiah 6 is seek the old paths. Go back to the law of Moses. And in our case, always, 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 go back to the New Testament covenant or gospel of Jesus Christ. Number two, look at the prophet's plea. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 6, Jeremiah says, "Stand in the ways and see." The prophet urges consideration and thoughtful deliberation. Look at that. Stand in the ways and see and ask. You're supposed to stand out there and do some studying. You're supposed to do some thinking, Jeremiah says. Too many people today hurry along in life and they don't stop to consider the direction they're traveling. They don't stop to consider where they're headed and how I can be on the right path. Notice that the prophet is pleading for stand. Just stand still for a little while. We're in such a mobile society where we're on the go and hustle and bustle and people doing this and that. Jeremiah says, just wait a minute. Just stand still a minute and take a look. Where are you and where are you going and where do you need to be? It's a great plea. The devil would have you believe that you're on some vague journey, some vague quest, some aimless journey through life. No. No, there's one way. It's the New Testament way. And when you get off track, you've got to stop and stand and think about that for a little bit. Jeremiah is saying that our course in life should be determined only after solemn consideration and thoughtful deliberation. Pause. Investigate. Only fools rush heedlessly along. We're going to stop and stand and see. That's why we have to know our New Testaments. That's why we have to be reading on a regular basis, especially our New Testament, so we know what the old paths are. This consideration and this deliberation is very important today. Because what's going on today is there's all kinds of choices. There's all kinds of religions that you can choose from. There's all kinds of ideologies that you can choose from Eastern religions to Catholicism to Protestant denominationalism to Judaism to cults to atheism, humanism, and everything else in between. You got all kinds of choices out there. Jeremiah doesn't say the solution to your problem is just pick something. He says stand and take some deliberation and consideration. We need to do that. You know, our young people today need to do that. They are bombarded with all kinds of peer pressure from every side. I just had that mentioned to me this morning by someone. Peer pressure from every side. They need to stand and see. The religiously satisfied in this country, well, I've just been a such and such all my life, just pick some church. I've just been such and such my whole life, and I'm fine with that. It would be good for them to stand and see. The religiously discontent who are considering changing churches or shopping around for their church choice. This happens a lot today. They need to stand and see. Unfaithful brethren who have left the Lord. It would be good for them to stand and see. Brethren, we need to take the time to examine the choices in life and choose the old paths. It's very, very important. And then notice in the text that Jeremiah says, ask. Ask. The prophet encourages serious inquiry. After you pause and investigate, you need to ask. You need to inquire. Not just for any old way, but for the old paths. It is so important for us today. Let me ask you this. What are you and I asking for as we go through life? What do we want in our life, our religious life, our moral life, our ethical life? What are we even asking for? Here's a great thing to ask for. The old paths. The old paths. Some of the newer versions in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16 say something like this. Stand in the crossroads. Stand at the crossroads. Notice that your Bible says ways, plural. There's different ways going. Different directions, different roads. Some of the newer versions say stand at the crossroads. The point is, when you get out there and stand, there's different choices. And you need to ask for the right choice. Don't just pick something and head down that road. It could be worse than the road that you're already on. So it's a great plea. Thoughtful determination and inquiry. And we've got to teach our children and grandchildren the questions even to ask. We live in a culture today where they're growing up, they don't even know the questions to ask, let alone the answers. We can help them. Notice that Jeremiah talks about the way is described. He calls it, first of all, the old paths. It's older than family and friends. It's older than culture. It's older than current trends. A lot of times, and even some brethren get caught up with this, well, what are the current trends? The elders get together and say, now, what are the current trends? And how can we keep up with that? And how can we keep members in our church by surveying what is going on? And what would the church like? And what can we do to make your experience here better? It's older than current trends. In our case, it's first century in origin, some 2,000 years old. It's the New Testament gospel found from Matthew to Revelation in your New Testament. And no one today determines what that path is. It's already been determined by Jesus Christ. And we need to stay away from anyone, myself included. I would never purposely try to do this. But stay away from anyone who attempts to devise some new way. through adding to the Word of God or subtracting from the Word of God or substituting something else. They are the old paths. And because they come from God, they are tested and true and tried. They are the original paths. I want to be on the original path, don't you? Not just some path, but the original path. The original path for the Israelites was the path of Moses. And the original path for the church today is the path of Jesus and the apostles. If there are old paths, there are certainly new paths, and those are the paths of man. And we need to stay away from that. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. We need to stay true to the New Testament teaching. We don't go forward by just doing anything we want to do. We go forward here at Warfield Boulevard and hopefully our brethren in other places by going backward to the old paths. 2 Thessalonians, what are we supposed to hold fast to? So then, brethren, 2 Thessalonians 2:15, stand fast and hold the traditions which were taught, whether by word or epistle of ours. This is apostolic tradition. 2 Timothy 1:13, hold the pattern of sound words. And on and on and on. This principle is found several places. Do not go outside the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 9. It is a principle that is laid down both in the Old and New Testament, and that is always, always, always come back to the Word of God. Are you and I willing to go all the way back some 2,000 years? That's the lesson that we need to learn. And then Jeremiah says, where is the good way? It's the good way. It's the way that leads to good. It's the way that leads to salvation. First of all, it's the good way because it's the one authorized by God. Secondly, it's the good way because it produces goodness and righteousness in our life. I talk to parents from time to time and they talk about the challenges of their young people and the young people are saying, well, no way. The good way, that's drinking and drugs. That's the good way. And sexual immorality, that's the good, fun way. It is not the good way. It is not the good way. That's a lie. And when young people engage in those things, oh, it's all fun on the front end. But you get into it for a little while and it takes you down a dark path that does not end well. Don't fall for that lie that sin and worldliness is the good way. No, the good way is found in the paths of Scripture. God made us, Genesis 1:1, and He knows what is best for us. He's only going to put us on a path that is good for us. And sometimes that path of goodness means that we stay away from things that are going to hurt us. We do that all the time as parents with real little children. We know what is good for them, and so sometimes we restrict them from touching the hot stove or putting their fingers in the light socket. We know what is good for them. The narrow way that leads to eternal life is the good way. Yes, it's narrow. Yes, it recommends that we stay away from different things in life, but it's what is good for us. Sexual purity is good for you, not sexual promiscuity. A clean mouth is good for you, not a dirty mouth, and so forth. And God knows what is best for us. Let's follow that. And then Jeremiah says, and walk therein. It's the way of obedience. It's the way of doing and not just hearing. we don't just need to hear about the old way. We need to go out and do it in our lives. We need to practice it in our lives. And that's when the good comes. Fifi recently started walking on the good way. And do you remember when you started walking on the good way? Do you remember when you came up out of the waters of baptism and started walking on the good way? And you realized after a little while, yeah, now I know why it's good. Peace of mind and forgiveness of sins and answered prayer and help from my brethren and great counsel and wisdom from the Word of God. But it's something where we walk therein. In the New Testament, walk is used so many times by Paul and others as a life of daily obedience to God. Listen, knowledge of the right way is useless unless we're going to practice it. Knowledge of the right way is useless unless we're going to go out and practice it. And so Jeremiah doesn't say, just ask and then it's magically over. He says, ask and seek. But then he says, you've got to go out and walk in it. And we go forward by going backward. Walk therein. And then back in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, Jeremiah talks about the promise. He says, and you shall find rest for your souls. Well, obviously, it's the good way. And so when I get in the good way, there's going to be promises and benefits. Do you know that this sermon, this principle is so important that just about every word of it is repeated again in chapter 8? If you just hold your hand there in Jeremiah 6 and turn over to Jeremiah chapter 8 when he talked about the sins of the people in chapter 8 verses 8 through 13, he mentions the same sins pretty much as were mentioned in chapter 6. This is so important that he preached it twice. Sin is going to lead you down the wrong path. You need to get back on the right path. And when you do, then you will have rest for your souls. People today want blessings and benefits. And they think they're going to find it on the road of life that's the broad way. They're not going to find that. They find nothing but heartache on that road. There's heartache. When we're walking the old paths, our marriage is better and our family is better and our personal lives are better because that's the way where we can find rest for our souls. You go down some other path, it's not going to end well. And there's trouble all along the way. Jeremiah says that there is rest for your souls. Well, first of all, that's going to mean forgiveness of sins. There's rest along the way. We get help along the way. You can go to bed at night with a clean conscience. Your marriage is sweeter. Your family is sweeter. The local church is sweeter. And then if that's not enough, there's rest at the end of the journey. Hebrews 4:9, we enter into our rest. Brethren, we've got to choose the old paths because that's where the blessings are. And that's where the benefits are. And there's going to be a cost. There's going to be a sacrifice to stay on this road. To get on this road and to stay on this road, there's going to be a sacrifice. But it is so worth it. You might be among the smaller congregation. You might be among those in town that are reproach for some reason. But you're traveling the old paths. And young people, never, ever, ever reproach or put down the old paths. Your peers, your contemporaries are saying, don't do the old stuff. That's for your parents and your grandparents. Don't do the old. Old is bad. Jeremiah is saying old is good. You don't listen to that lie that says old is bad. No, old is good when you're talking about the way of the Lord. And if it takes sacrifices to get on this way and stay on it, please do that. Because the benefits and the blessings are so great. There are so many people that are not at rest today. They're not at rest. There's anxiety about this. There's stress about that. Jesus said, come unto me, Matthew 11:28-30, and I will give you rest for your souls. Just do it. And we've got to help our friends and neighbors see that. Unfortunately, if you look with me at chapter 6 and verse 16, God gives us free will. And unfortunately, at this time, many of Jeremiah's audience members did not want it. They rejected it. They said, we will not walk there. And God is not going to force you to walk in the old paths. He's not going to force you to see the benefits of it. He's not going to force you to agree that it's the good way. He's not going to force you. He's going to lay it out there. Stand at the crossroads and seek and ask. But I'm not going to force you to go down the old paths. And so many said to Jeremiah, nope. We don't want it. Their life of sin was too good for them. Unfortunately, today it is the same. The old paths way is often rejected by many people. We don't trust God. We don't trust that it's really the best way for us. And at this time it was rejected in whole, there are exceptions. Jeremiah, and there was a remnant. There were faithful Jews in Jeremiah's day. There's always been a faithful remnant. But the majority of these people just did not want the Word of God about 627 BC or so. They just didn't want it. And unfortunately, it is still rejected today. Some reject it because of ignorance. And we need to point them to the old paths. We need to sit down and have a Bible study with them. They've just never been told. And I'm afraid that our younger generations in our culture today, with a lack of Scripture in their life, they just don't know what the old paths are. And we've got to help them to see that. Secondly, some people reject it today because it's old. I don't want anything that's old. I want the new and improved religion. Kind of like the Athenians of Paul's day, if you turn over to Acts 17:19-21, when Paul was on Mars Hill, they gathered together to hear new things. Come on, Paul, give me the new stuff. No. I want the old paths that go back to the New Testament. And unfortunately, even among some brethren, there are what have been called change agents. They're trying to change the church to follow the new and improved Church of Christ way. We need to avoid that at all cost. We need to ask the preacher, I don't want the new stuff. Stand up there and give me the old path. So it's often rejected because of ignorance. Number two, it's often rejected because it's old. And number three, it's often rejected because it's challenging today to stay within the old paths. The old paths are narrow, and I want options. You know, I go through the drive-through at Wendy's, and I got all these options. I want religious options. I don't want to stay in this narrow way. Many don't want to be restricted. They don't want to be confined. I've had family members that I've had discussions with on this very matter, and they say, Chris, I don't want to be confined to your old Church of Christ ways. Well, brother, if you're talking about the old paths, I plead guilty. And I want to stay within that. Many today have tried to expand the old paths and make it broader than they are. Look at our culture. Brethren, we talked this morning about our culture. We are living in a culture that is about choice, pro-choice on everything. And members of churches of Christ are seeing that and they're hearing that. And some elders and preachers and others are saying, well, the way we accommodate that is we change the old Jerusalem gospel and we just let people have more choices on stuff. Because it's too challenging to stay within the old paths. You know, these new cars, they have autocorrect on them, right? Driving down the road, you ever been in one of those? Maybe you rented one recently. You can't get off the road if you wanted to. The thing jerks you back. The steering wheel starts vibrating. You can't have a wreck if you wanted to. The Lord's not going to do that. You swerve and go off to the side, you're going to go if that's what you want. He's not going to jerk you back. He's not going to vibrate your steering wheel. There's not going to be any beeping or blinking lights going off on your side mirrors. So as we close this evening, it's decision time. What will you say to the invitation? Stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. What will you and I say to that invitation? Let's all leave this evening saying, I want the old paths, and help me to walk in that. If it's something that we need to study more, let's sit down and have a Bible study. If it's something that we need to talk about more and learn more about and encourage us, let's accept that invitation. And may God help us all as we go forward to seek the old paths. As we go forward, may we always go backward. This is one area in your life where you want to stay tied to the old paths. There are some brethren here that have been in the Lord's church for decades. And clearly, you can look around and see that it's possible to seek the old paths and walk in it. They're still doing that. And I'm glad that I'm surrounded by those kind of brethren here this evening. Young people, look at that. It can be done. You're looking at brethren who are resisting current trends. You're looking at brethren who are resisting new ways. You'll hear sometimes today, well, you don't need to be stuck in the past. Well, if we're talking about the old paths, I want to be stuck in the past. Because Jeremiah says that's where the good way is. And everybody here this evening wants that way. If we can help you this evening, we're going to sing this song of encouragement, Just As I Am. We can get off the wrong road and get on the right road and find good things for ourselves and for others around us. If we can help you with that this evening, why won't you come forward? Let your needs be made known as we stand and as we sing.